Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired is produced in association with Jazz Times. Vocalist Maria Muldaur may be best known for her 1974 hit Midnight at the Oasis, but it's her long career and 43 recordings that have continued to delight her fans with Maria's unique approach to blues, roots, and jug band music. Maria's mother pushed her towards classical music, but when her grandmother played her some Western swing at the tender age of 5, there was no looking back. Maria's latest CD, Let's Get Happy Together, is a collection of lesser-known musical gems recorded with the New Orleans band Tuba Skinny. The liner notes include the source material for each song on the CD, which Maria hopes will entice her fans to explore the music further, a journey Maria is just as enthusiastic about today as she was when she heard that first Hank Williams record as a child. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Maria Muldaur and I recorded the following conversation in June 2021. I started by asking Maria what made her so attracted to the music of Tuba Skinny.
I first heard them in a clothing store in Woodstock, and I just heard this delightful vintage jazz wafting through the air out of the speakers, and I remarked about it, and the woman told me that it was a band called Tuba Skinny, and I had listened to this kind of music all my life, and I didn't recognize the name. And then she informed me that it wasn't an old band from the 20s. It was a contemporary band of young street musicians from New Orleans. And I found it hard to believe because their sound was so authentic. She had to show me the CD before I would believe her. So I was immediately enamored with their sound, and I ordered a bunch of their CDs, which became in regular rotation in my life. And I pondered why I was so especially pleased by their sound. And I came to the conclusion, because, you know, I've listened to this music all my life, like I said, and studied it even since my early days with the Jim Queskin Jug Band. And I came to the conclusion that although there are many bands playing this music today, Tuba Skinny was doing it with a particular feel. It was almost like they were channeling the very atmosphere and vibration of that earlier time period. And, you know, a time before the over-mechanization and digital age and, you know, sort of the postmodern age we're in now, where everything's much more mechanized. It was a much more relaxed and organic groove. There's no other way I can describe it. There's something about the way these particular people play this music that makes it endlessly appealing to me and just makes me feel happy whenever I hear it.
Guest Maria Muldaur with Tuba Skinny from their new CD, Let's Get Happy Together. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I asked Maria what's unusual about Tuba Skinny.
It's their particular approach, I think. They're all good musicians, and a lot of them came out of different backgrounds. So some of them were punk rockers and did all kinds of things before they came together as a band, I think about 10 or 11 years ago. But they consider themselves a collective. It's not like Shay Cohen, who's this wonderful cornet and trumpet player, is the leader, but nobody's the star. And they all play in a way, they are listening to each other. And nobody's trying to grandstand or stick out in any particular way. They are all interweaving these harmonies together all throughout the song, even though different people step out and take a solo. And when they do, the others undergird them just right. It's just so tasty. And it's kind of, I think they have a more egoless approach to music than most musicians I've known over the years. And that helps, because it's when ego disappears that harmony can happen.
That's a lovely, that's a good quote. That's great. And one of the things I loved about the CD was that you listed sources and things for people to explore, which of course is so much easier now with YouTube. And you gave me a chance to see
Valida Snow.
Oh, my word. I heard it pronounced a couple different ways. So that's how it is, Valida Snow.
Yeah,
she's an amazing character. And one of the things that I read was not only did she play all these instruments, and I want you to talk about her, but that she spoke 7 languages.
I didn't even know that, but she did go over to Europe and spend some time over there, including, unfortunately, getting arrested by the Nazis and having to be kind of in house detention in Denmark for a while. But Valida Snow was this wonderful, beautiful African-American woman who played trumpet, was just shapely and wore great outfits. I'd love to have some of those dresses today. And was a band leader, a singer, and even wrote some songs, and just an all-around great entertainer. And Louis Armstrong called her the second best trumpet player in the world.
Well, that's saying something.
Yeah, really. So, you know, here I've studied this music all my life and I'd never even heard of her. And so that's kind of part of the reason I like to do these projects. It's because there are so many great artists who were quite popular in the day, let alone ones that were obscure and great. But a lot of these artists from where I draw the material for this album were very popular entertainers in the day, and yet today nobody's hardly heard of them. So I love to do projects like this and shine a light on their great gift and help keep it alive and turn other people on to it.
Boys, I'm burning up. Swing on, boys.
1935 recording of Vineta Snow, a favorite of my guest, Maria Muldaur. Vineta played multiple instruments, spoke seven languages, sang, and Louis Armstrong memorably referred to her as the second greatest trumpet player in the world.
I thought she's such a great example of what you and I know, having been in this business so long, that you can have so much talent. Just, I mean, she had a freakish level of talent, and she was beautiful, and she was shapely, as you say. And still, just a couple moves that don't go the right way, and you'd never heard of her, I'd never heard of her.
Yeah.
And that's an epitome of this crazy business we're in.
Yeah, but there's such a treasure trove of great music. And I, you know, spiritually and musically, I kind of live in the 20s and 30s. So, I mean, there's, I could do several volumes of albums like this, just because I found, I picked the 12 best songs, but there were, for every one song I picked, there was a dozen that were just as good, you know? And so I do in the liner notes let people know just enough about them, hopefully to pique their interest and, you know, encourage them to go on YouTube and discover some of the treasures I discovered.
You have to talk about Dorothy L'Amour, because that track, I've listened to that over and over. It's your version is fabulous. Her version is fabulous and sexy, but it's really, like you say, he plays the uke, he's from Dubuque. I mean, you gotta love a lyric like that.
The minute I heard that, I mean, they're just, they don't write lyrics like that hardly anymore. But I've always loved Dorothy L'Amour from her early movies, when she wore a sarong and a flower in her hair, and she was this sultry, exotic, tropical beauty in the Bob Hope, Bing Crosby movies and elsewhere. But I never knew till I did this project that she was a native of New Orleans and had been a singer and married to a band leader before she ever went out to Hollywood. And so I discovered all kinds of wonderful songs. And she had a lovely, low, very low, sonorous voice. And so it was a great delight to discover that one, not only because I love her, but because, like you say, it's the song is called I Go For That. And it's just all about the inexplicable way that you can fall for somebody that everybody else would be consider a nerd, you know, but she likes that kind of guy. And I just think the lyrics are great, and it was big fun doing the song.
Well, I loved your version of it. And I have to tell you, as I was listening to those lyrics, I was thinking that, and I know people are going to hate me for this because everybody loves my funny Valentine, but I always feel like you're saying you're this, all these things that you're not this handsome guy, but I love you anyway. This was much more on the mark for me.
In a way.
Because you're talking about the inexplicable things about the what attracts you to a person.
I've always kind of had that when I sing my funny Valentine, which I only do if I'm doing a Valentine show, because who could beat Chet Baker's version of it, and everyone else does it. But
exactly.
But I mean, when you think of the lyrics, is your figure less than Greek? You know, it's like the person's really dissing the poor beloved, you know? So I agree with you.
That's great.
That's
great.
Called damning. It's called damning with faint praise.
Faint praise, exactly.
I hate the tall, dark, handsome type. I hate a man who smokes a pipe. But your dopey walk, your double talk, I go for that. Your corny jokes, your dizzy folks, I go for that. Your kiss just misses, your dancing is rough, but I love that stuff. I guess I don't get around quite enough. You play the uke, you're from Dubuque, I go for that. And furthermore, I just adore your fuzzy hair, your vacant stare. I'd run from Gable, but right off the bat, to be with you, my Romeo, Don't ask me why, 'cause I don't know. I look at you and ooh, I go for that kind of loving. I like your hugging. I go for that. Your heart of golden teeth to match, I go for that. Your kiss just misses, your dancing is rough, but I love that stuff. I guess I don't get around quite enough. You play the Uke, you're from Dubuque, I go for that. And furthermore, I just adore your fuzzy hair, your vacant stare. To Mr. Cupid, I take off my hat. You can't account for silly taste of all the hearts I could have chased. I look at you and ooh, I go for that.
And that's something that I think that I've always loved about your work when you sing these things, that there is a humor and irony in the songs of this period very often that is just delicious. And romance is nothing if not funny and ironic. I mean, people always talk about, you know, the big romance of it, the flowers and things, but a real romance has all this humor, it has things going on that lyrics really capture for me.
All those early Irving Berlin songs, you know, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's very ironic, the ups and downs. And like I'm watching a lot of Fred Astaire movies in which a lot of songs like that appear. And so, yeah, that's naturally the kind of stuff I go for. There has to be a sort of a little inner punchline to make a song interesting most of the time.
Exactly.
Whoever said a good man's hard to find, positively, absolutely, sure was blind. I found the best that ever was. Here's some of the things he does. He shakes my ashes, greases my griddle, churns my butter, strokes my fiddle. My man is such a handy man, yeah. He threads my needle, creams my wheat, he heats my heater, chops my meat. My man is such a handy man. If you believe or not, he's good to have around. When my furnace gets too hot, he turns my damper down. For everything, he's got a scheme. I love the way he whips my cream. My man is such a handy man, oh yeah. Well, he flaps my flapjacks.
My guest, Maria Muldaur, on Handy Man, from her CD, Naughty Body and Blues. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired.
Talk about the Boswell sisters. I know that they're a big influence on you. I love the Boswell sisters.
The Boswell sisters, I first heard them way back in the day, and on my second or third album for Warner Brothers, I believe it was my third album, which was called Sweet Harmony, I got to work with Benny Carter and an all-star big band. That had like Ray Brown and Harry Sweets Edison and Snooki Young and Frank
Rossellini. All Rosalini, the guys, yeah.
All the guys. And I would, you know, looking out at the studio and go, oh my God, these are the cats that, you know, played with Billy and Ella. And I was really blessed to have the opportunity to work with them. And so one of the songs I picked was We Just Couldn't Say Goodbye. So I had recorded Boswell Sisters' song in the past. And actually, Hoagie Carmichael happened to be at that session because we had also recorded Rocking Chair, which is a song he wrote. And he was having so much fun. He stuck around and helped myself and the other two gals that were singing the harmonies, who were both from Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks. I borrowed the Hot Licks to sing harmony with me. And Hoagie Carmichael stuck around and helped us work out the harmonies so that we'd have real precise harmonies. So anyway, but that's, I love the Boswell sisters, and I especially love Connie Boswell. I think she has such a beautiful and soulful way of singing. There were three white girls from New Orleans, but they totally osmosed the whole Southern inflection. And I mean, they were so musical and played with all the great big bands of the day, and I'm just a huge fan, in case you didn't notice.
Come and meet those dancing feet, glutton, glutton, on the avenue I'm taking you to, 42nd Street. Hear the beat of dancing feet, glutton, glutton, it's a song I love, and melody of 42nd Street. Little nifties from the 50s, innocent and sweet. Lovely ladies from the 80s, give yourself a treat. Side by side, they're glorified. Where the whole world meets success and defeat. 42nd Street, hearty gaudy, sort of sporty, 42nd Street.
On this album, I got the South in my soul, which is, I had done it with Duke Robillard a couple of years ago. Duke Robillard had called me up and said, would I be part of an album he did called Duke and His Dames? And he also loves music from this period, so he let me choose two that I liked, and that was one of them. And I just think it's a soulful song.
When the dark night is falling and the moon starts to roll, what is this thing that keeps calling? It's the South in my soul. How I long for that delta. It's my home, it's my goal. Wanna be safe in its shelter. Got the South in my soul. Too long I've lingered in the darkness. No matter what I've won, I wanna say goodbye to darkness and spend all my days in the sun. Let me lie on that levee. Let me burn black as coal. I know my heart won't be heavy. Got the South in my soul.
So tell me about one of your biggest, earliest influences.
Well, as I was mentioning earlier, I used to go up to Victoria Spivey's apartment, and she was helping me find songs that would be suitable for my young voice. And I wanted to sound like Bessie Smith, but it took me 5 decades to get that kind of depth in my voice. And the one person she played me was an old scratchy 78 by a woman named Memphis Minnie. And it was a tune called Tricks Ain't Walkin'. And I was just mesmerized by the sound. It was so plaintive, and just something about it just stuck with me. But since it was way, way before YouTube or anything, it was like a dozen years before I could ever find another song by Memphis Minnie. And our Hooli Records put together a compilation of her work. And Memphis Minnie was not only sang the blues, but wrote and recorded over 250 of her own tunes and played bitchin' guitar. And not only that, but she was smart enough to marry not one, but several different guitar-playing husbands. Just because she was, you know, smart enough to know this will keep all the money in the family. And she performed in duets with them. And on most of the recordings, unlike what you might imagine, they play rhythm guitar and she plays lead. And she was a role model to me in every way, not just musically, but the songs she wrote were very, as the best songs are, very personal. They were personal descriptions of what was going on in her life, but they also had a universal appeal to them.
I dreamt a dream last night I never dreamt before. I dreamt a dream last night I never dreamt before. Up this morning, my trunk was setting out a door. I didn't have no money, I couldn't find me no place to go. I didn't have no money, couldn't find me no place to go. So they left me in my trunk. Not in the cold. That was me last night. Ooh, you drove from your door. That was me last night. Ooh, you drove from your door. Why you would let me in?
I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Our show is made possible in part with generous support from Steinway & Sons. Additional support is provided by Jazz Times Magazine, providing entertaining and provocative coverage of the jazz scene since 1970. On the web at jazztimes.com. For a schedule of upcoming programs, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. You can listen to Jazz Inspired on all the usual podcast platforms and email us at info@jazzinspired.com or visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Stride Queen. Although we broadcast on NPR stations, we're an independent production not funded by NPR. We're funded primarily by your donations. So please visit jazzinspired.com
to chip in. No gift is too small. And please tell your friends about Jazz Inspired and help us spread the word. My guest is vocalist Maria Muldaur.
Talk about Billie Holiday. I was delighted that you recorded this song, He Ain't Got Rhythm, because nobody ever mentions this song.
That song?
I remember this was one of the first ones that I, when I was listening to all those small group sessions, you know, when I first got into this music. Talk about this piece.
Well, it's just another song that I discovered while combing through the archives of this kind of music, mostly on YouTube. And Billie Holiday, I've always loved her singing. I wouldn't say she was a major influence on me, but I remember growing up in Greenwich Village and going to junior high school, PS3, and I had to pass Cafe Society every day. I remember seeing her name, you know, the marquee with her name up, but I was just a little too young to ever see her in person. But let's see. I'll tell you something about Billie Holiday I bet you don't know. Lulu Barker, have you heard of her?
Of course, yeah.
Well, she was from New Orleans, and she, of course, had originally written and recorded a song that I did on my first album called Don't You Feel My Leg. And I became friends with her and her husband, Danny Barker, who, of course, was a guitar player who played with Cab Calloway, Louis Armstrong, and everyone in between, including when they moved to New York City. He played with Billie Holiday. He did quite a few sessions with her. And when I was 2 years ago, I did an album called Don't You Feel My Leg, The Naughty Body Blues of Lulu Barker. And in doing my research for that album, I was delighted to find that Lulu and Danny Barker had written dozens of songs equally naughty and bawdy and funny and clever as Don't You Feel My Leg. Songs with titles like Loan Me Your Husband. And, I mean,
that's
really
great.
And like very risque stuff considering they were recording in the early 40s. Anyway, while doing this research for that album, I came across a quote where Billie Holiday is quoted as saying that Lulu Barker was one of her main influences.
And I'm writing this down. I'm so interested in this. Wow.
Yeah, who knew? You know, and see, that's why, I mean, if I were to go before one of my average audiences and say, how many people have ever heard of Billie Holiday? Almost every hand would go up. But if I said, how many people have ever heard of Lulu Barker? Only two hipsters maybe would raise their hand. So again, that's one of the reasons I do this, to shine a light on the person equally talented who maybe didn't quite get the same media attention as somebody else, you know. Mm. Anyway, but that's and here's the thing. When I thought about it and listened to early recordings of Lulu, she has this very coy, sly, lazy way of singing that I absolutely could hear that in Billie's, you know, Billie's presentation. And so there you go. Who knew?
Loan me your husband, and I will loan you mine. Loan me your husband, and I will loan you mine. I want him to love me. Your husband looks so kind. I need your husband. Please don't be mad at me. I need your husband. Just how square can you be? He can love both of us, it's okay with me.
I always find it interesting because people talk about lyrics now or rap music or any of the contemporary music and how sexy it is and all these things that are happening. And when you dive into this music, like you have, obviously, and I've heard a lot of it as well. It's unbelievably sexy. And like
totally.
I said, with that humor, I mean, loan me your husband. I mean, I wrote that down. I'm looking that up. That
It's so sly and so hip and so tongue-in-cheek. Actually, I find the lyrics of early blues and say, of the era we're talking about way sexier than a lot of today's lyrics because, you know, it's much more subtle. It's done with innuendo. It's not as graphic and in-your-face and pornographic as a lot of today's lyrics. And somebody once said, imagination is the greatest aphrodisiac. So if that's true, then the way that people sang about sexuality with a sly little double entendre is way sexier as far as I'm concerned.
Won't you be my chauffeur? Won't you be my chauffeur? I want you to ride me. I want you to ride me downtown. Oh yeah, where you ride so easy, I can't turn you down. Well, I don't want you, you know I don't want you, to be riding these other girls, to be riding these other girls around. I'm gonna steal me a pistol, shoot my chauffeur down. Well, I'm gonna buy you, you know I'm gonna buy you a brand new V8, a brand new V8 4.
My guest, vocalist Maria Muldaur, on Me and My Chauffeur Blues, from the CD First Came Memphis Mini. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Well, speaking of something that's very contemporary that I loved again on this CD was Be Your Natural Self.
Ah.
I was fascinated with that the performer that you write about did it sometimes as a man and sometimes as a woman, which
yeah.
is fascinating. I mean, talk about being something that's relevant for today. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, Frankie Half Pint Jackson, I had heard way back in the day, Victoria Spivey, who is one of the original classic blues queens. He was a contemporary of Bessie Smith and Ma Rainey, but she had moved up to New York City and in the early 60s when I was first coming up, she was had her own record company. She, as far as I know, I could be wrong, but as far as I know, she's the first artist I know of who was savvy enough to have her own record company. And she spotted me early on and kind of took me under her wing and suggested that I join this band she was recording called the Even Dozen Jug Band. She would bring me up to her apartment in Queens to help me find songs that would be suitable for my young voice. And she played me a Frankie Half Pint Jackson song. And at the time, I thought it was a woman singing. And it was called My Daddy Rocks Me With a Steady Roll. That was one of the songs. She also introduced me to Memphis Minnie, but that's a whole other program. Anyway, so years later, as I'm doing the research for this album, I see the name Frankie Half Pint Jackson, and to my astonishment, find out it's a guy who sometimes performed as a man and sometimes as a woman with equally well, and found a lot of great songs. But he was this is in the 20s. So see, he was right out front about it. So I would consider him one of the original gender benders way before it became so out in the open. And just the very, I did another one of his tunes, but this one seems to have particular relevance because what more can you say to someone who's you know, wondering about their gender, but to say, be your natural self. Although it can be used, you know, in any context, but I just think it's a great song with a universal message.
Oh, there you go, flying around. What goes up must come down, so be your natural self. There you go, riding by. Don't you know you can get too high, so be your natural self. Well, I was once in the money. Now my days ain't sunny anymore. Oh, there you go, bragging again. Don't you know you're looking in, so be your natural self.
This is a question you may not be able to answer, but I'm curious, and as I was thinking of that, this specifically, and some of these other tunes, do you think people were more accepting in a way of some of this than, I mean, there's a movement now, so people are being more, things have changed, but a lot of people would say they're not changing enough. But what do you think?
Well, I don't know. I'm no historian. What I know of bygone decades and even 100 years ago is mostly what I pick up through the music I listen to. But it would be my guess that among the African-American communities back in the day, they were much more broad-minded, I think. Although there was also a very religious faction within that community where, I mean, so many artists like W.C. Handy was made to feel so much shame for wanting to sing the blues that he went blind for a time. And I mean, there was a certain segment of that community who definitely thought either you sang the music of the church, the Lord's music, or you were singing the devil's music. But despite that, lots of what they would call the devil's music prevailed. And through those songs, we have a very, very good picture of a very clear picture of all the mischief that was going on back in the day. You know, I think, and they were much more free about their sexuality than I think the white counterparts of the day. I mean, Ma Rainey and Bessie Smith were both bisexual. That's two that come to mind right away. And there were others, and they weren't doing it under the cover of night. They sang about it as well. So there was something much more liberal and relaxed about their attitudes, I think.
You talked about doing projects like this. Do you always do research on your recordings? Have you done this through the years where you've settled into a kind of, I'm going to research to put this repertoire together?
Well, I don't write my own songs. So over the years, I've made it my business to know who the best songwriters in the country are and to get their phone numbers. And so I, you know, started doing more contemporary, well, not in the jug bands I was in. Back in the jug band days, I was doing material by Victoria Spivey and some of the people we're mentioning, Memphis Minnie and so forth. But my association with Stony Plain Records, which started about 20 years ago, I did an album called Richland Woman Blues, in which I wanted to pay tribute to all the early blues artists who had inspired me, male and female. And that was nominated for a Grammy. And so when you start looking around for songs, that's when you start, then you want to know the backstory and you know, all kind, it's a treasure hunt and you never know what you're going to find. And it's always very rewarding. I always find way more than I ever dreamed was there, you know. So when I'm doing recordings that harken back to a, you know, former era, I find it very informative to do that kind of research.
What were you listening to growing up? What was being played in your house?
Well, my mother who was a high school teacher who taught five languages in the New York City school system, wanted me to only listen to classical music, and that's all she played, WQXR, morning, noon, and night in the house. And to a little girl, that was very gloomy and ominous, most of it. You know, these dark orchestral pieces, and I hated it. But her younger sister was a much more lively and interesting gal in my opinion at the time. And she liked what she called cowboy music, which was what we would call early country and Western music. This is, I'm growing up in the 40s in New York City. So there I was, and my mother hated it, but that's what Aunt Katie played me. So at five, I was listening to Hank Williams and Kitty Wells and Hank Thompson, Hank Snow, Ernest Tubb. A lot of people named Hank, come to think of it. But,
Bob but, Wills. There's someone
Bob
not named
Wills,
Hank.
Exactly. And
I'm crazy
I was listening
about Bob
to him.
Wills.
Yeah. And so at the age of five, I was singing Hank Williams and Kitty Wells song. My aunt would play the very sort of fractured honky-tonk piano, and I would sing those tunes. And I think way later it occurred to me for a long time, I had this sort of signature kind of yodel in my voice. So I don't know if you call it a yodel or just like a place where my voice snapped up into falsetto. And I realized I must have gotten that from Hank Williams and Kitty Wells and those early country artists.
Many months have come and gone since I wandered from my home in the Oklahoma hills where I was born. Many a page of life has turned, many a lesson I have learned, but I feel that in those hills I still belong. Way down yonder in the Indian Nation, I rode my pony on the reservation in the Oklahoma hills where I was born. Way down yonder in the Indian Nation, a cowboy's life was my occupation in the Oklahoma hills where I was born.
Ernest Tubb, an early influence on my guest, Maria Muldaur. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired.
Talk a little bit about jug band music, because I've told a number of people you were going to be on the show, and I was talking about jug band, and I think people are confused about what that is, a lot of people. They don't know what jug band music is.
Well, jug band music emerged out of the rural South during the 20s, I would say. It was a time when people had radios, and so they could hear a lot of the ragtime and jazz, what we'd now call trad jazz, of the sort that's on my album. They could hear that on the radio, but most people in the rural areas couldn't afford a drum set, but everyone had a washboard out in the back, so they used, for instance, a washboard played by putting thimbles on your fingers and maybe attaching, you know, pots and pans and cowbells, anything you might find in the yard. And they would, so that would be their drum set. And then they couldn't afford a big bass, so they would either blow into an empty whiskey jug or they would make a one-string bass out of a wash tub and a stick and a piece of steel cable. So that was two expensive instruments that they took care of by just getting junk out of the backyard. And then they couldn't afford a saxophone or a horn, so they would play harmonica, which is also known as the Mississippi saxophone. But they all often could afford smaller instruments like mandolins, guitars, banjos, and fiddles, stringed instruments. So that's what made up the typical jug band, and the music was a cross between ragtime and country blues.
Sweet daddy, shake hands and tell your mama goodbye. I don't want you no more. Sweet daddy, you didn't love me no how. Well, last night and the night before, I saw another woman slipping out your door. I don't want you no more. Sweet daddy, shake hands.
to strutting your stuff. I don't want you no more, sweet daddy. Shake hands and tell your mama goodbye.
In the 60s, I was part of the folk revival of the early 60s, and a bunch of my friends were, you know, we were learning about bluegrass and blues and Appalachian music and so forth. And some of my friends discovered some old jug band records, and so they formed a jug band. And that, and Victoria Spivey saw them, and I think she it must have reminded her of the music that was popular during her heyday. So she said she would do an album with them, which just blew their minds. And that's how I came to be in that band. So I was in that band for one recording, and then I was asked to join the Jim Queskin Jug Band, which was our rival band up in Cambridge, Mass. And it was a great experience because we did five albums for the Jim Queskin Band, and we were very popular in the day. We were on all the musical and variety TV shows of the day. We played all kinds of college concerts, folk festivals, coffee houses, folk clubs, and so forth. And it was, so that was one revival. So that was the 60s. So we were reviving music from the 20s and 30s. And that's why it's so much fun to have discovered Tuba Skinny and see that this music is persevering and people are still keeping it alive today.
Forget about stormy weather. You lost your baby and I lost mine. I got a nickel and you got a dime. We'll drown our troubles in wine and we'll get happy together. Why should we worry just because they turned us down? We'll show everybody that we're nobody's clown. Now you can dance and I can sing. I got the finger and you got the ring. We'll get the parson to fix this thing and we'll be happy together.
A few years ago, we had our 50th anniversary with the Jim Queskin Jug Band, and so we did a little anniversary tour, which included Japan. We got over there and discovered there were over 100 jug band, working jug bands in Japan alone, and we culminated our tour there with the participating in the annual Jug Band Festival of Tokyo. So, I mean, go figure, it's 100 years later, it's a culture so different from ours, and yet people love this music, and it proliferates with no help from the above-ground media. You're not going to see articles about this in, you know, Time magazine or even the Rolling Stone, maybe the Rolling Stone, but each generation continues to discover this kind of organic, real music, and compared to the schlock they're hearing on the radio, it sounds so refreshing and so real that they gravitate towards it. So, I mean, today there's more bluegrass festivals, blues festivals, traditional jazz festivals, etc., than there ever were when the music first originated.
Oh, it's a heart to beat.
Maria, we did it. We went to some real effort to get together, and I appreciate it. I've been a fan forever, and I have something personal to tell you. I know people tell you this, but I remember that when I first heard you sing and hearing, I wasn't hearing people sing the kind of songs that we're talking about that we really love, and that got me going and thought, you know, this music can be performed and people love it. And it was a great inspiration for me in my early years. So I thank you for that. And to get to finally meet you is wonderful.
Thank you. I hope we get to be together in person. We could jam. I can't wait to hear you play stride piano.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
You've been listening to my conversation with Maria Moldauer. I hope you'll join me here next time when I talk with another creative person about how jazz has inspired their life and work. I'm Judy Carmichael, the host and producer of Jazz Inspired. My production engineer is Curtis Hydoff. You can download podcasts of Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired from all the usual podcast platforms or listen at jazzinspired.com. Jazz Inspired is sponsored in part with generous support from our listeners and Paige at 63 Main in Sag Harbor, New York, serving organic microgreens and vegetables grown on their own energy-efficient indoor and outdoor aquaponic farms. Better taste, happier planet. Visit Paige at 63 Main at opentable.com. Our opening music was Airmail Special, and the mid-break music is a smooth one from my CD, High on Fats and Other Stuff. The closing music is Old Fashioned Love from my CD Trio. I'm on piano with Mike Hashem on sax and Chris Morey on guitar. For more information, visit jazzinspired.com or judycarmichael.com.